Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Live from the 6th and Peabody Studio and across the Outkick Network, this is Outkick 360 with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
Happy Friday to you. Just like that, the final hour is here. 6th and Peabody, our location with Yeehaw Beer and Old Smoky Moonshine. The crew is all here as well.
The show is floating.
We are ready to get you to the weekend of football. All the kickoffs are tomorrow and Sunday. We'll get to the NFL pregame discussion coming up. But, Chad, every week, each Friday, you go through your top 10 games of the week. And you've got the storylines available. Outkick.com is where you can find Withrow's column on the top five storylines of the weekend. We have five storylines plus 10 must-see games for tomorrow's kickoff. I have a feeling that at least three, and I haven't seen the list, three of the top, I'm going to say seven games
okay.
of your 10
okay.
are SEC-based. Auburn-LSU's got to be high, I think, mm-hmm. based on the coaching change that could happen, based on the result.
These are fair guesses.
Okay. Kentucky-Ole Miss, and of course, Alabama-Arkansas. I don't know how you stack those two. But it is time.
Shall we find out
yes.
how I stack
I
these
have
up?
Seen
count
the
them
list.
Down. We're going to count them down.
Shall we stack them up?
Withrow's top 10 games of the college football weekend.
Need more reasons to watch college football? It's time to bang some hats. Here's Chad Withrow's must-see games this weekend.
I live by a bang hats at all time mentality, but yes. you definitely bang hats on the Friday before a college football weekend. And guess what, boys? They're going to be banging hats tonight at the Rose Bowl, because we got Friday Night Football, and that is game number 10 on my list. UCLA hosting Washington tonight. The Huskies, a 2.5-point favorite in this game. Kalen DeBoer, first-year head coach. Paul, you love this guy because you loved him at Fresno State.
I did love him.
You loved his quarterback a year ago. You know what I love about Kalen DeBoer's offense? Year one, they're already over 300 yards passing in every game in this pass-happy offense. Michael Penix Jr., you got to say that one slowly, leads the nation in passing. He is Washington also on defense is third in sacks. Hutton knows what I mean. Got to go slow on some names.
Penix.
Michael Penix. Penix.
Oh, no. We're having a throwback to a story we can't tell on air.
He needs a nickname. MP Jr. is what I'm going to call him.
He was nearly a ball.
Yes. He was committed to Tennessee for a while. He's from Connecticut. That's a high school player. Not a lot of high school athletes coming out or football players coming from Connecticut other than Aaron Hernandez. That story did not end well. Washington hoping this story ends well tonight at UCLA.
Washington is not getting enough discussion for the
college
football playoff.
They're 15th right now. Chip Kelly, by the way, is getting the run game going a little bit for UCLA. UCLA should have lost at home to South Alabama.
This might be a two-part column, Chad, but here's a request for you. I don't know if you're taking requests at this time or if you have a backlog.
I love requests and suggestions.
I want a column about quarterback transfers who are doing well.
Oh, there are several.
Okay.
Good luck, Chad.
No, that's a great one. What if I did a top five doing well, top five bad decisions?
Great.
To transfer. Just like I did with the backup quarterback.
So you're going to the next
get
game.
Get clicks from me.
I'll give the top and the bottom.
You're going to the
so
next
you're going
game.
To the next game.
I love that. Game.
Number nine.
Here we go. We're going to go to the Plains. That's right. Brian Harsin continues to fight for his life at Auburn and maybe try to lose so he can go back to Boise because they may have an opening soon. He could roll right back up to Idaho and coach the Boise State Broncos. But first, he's got to face off against LSU. LSU, an 8-point favorite in this game, 6 p.m. Central Time on ESPN. LSU under Brian Kelly has rushed for over 200 yards in each of their last three games. Now, here is a factor in this one and why I'm going to give you a little betting advice. Hurricane Ian.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's moving into the Auburn area. About time for kickoff for this game. It's going to be rainy, and there should be just enough wind to matter in this game.
Run games do well in the rain.
Auburn must win the turnover battle to have any chance in this game. Take the under. It's 45 and a half. I think Auburn, they were, it was, I think 17-17 at the end of regulation against Missouri last week.
Chad, if it were
this
perfect
is going
weather,
to be a
say?
Defensive game.
Perfect weather,
go way
take the
over.
Under.
If this
perfect
was,
weather, take the under.
If this was perfect weather, I would also probably advise you to take the under.
Wait a minute.
The fact, that it's bad
that's how
weather,
bad these teams are.
I hammer the under in this game. Yes. LSU is an 8-point favorite at Auburn tomorrow night.
I'm with you.
Is Jaden Daniels getting better?
He's got the back injury. Not a Tua Tagovailoa like back
so
injury.
A concussion?
That's
correct.
Also a concussion. I think this is a legitimate back injury, unlike maybe what we saw from Tua. Game number 8 this week.
Number 8.
Oklahoma at TCU. Oklahoma, a 6-point favorite on the road, still 18th in the country after a disappointing home loss to Kansas State this past week. 11 a.m. kickoff Central Time on ABC. TCU, they won the Iron Skillet last week in their game against SMU. Oklahoma averaging over 40 points per game. TCU, their air raid, averaging 46.3 points per game. Gentlemen, I will not be Frogs. Advising you to take the under in this one. No. I would never advise you to take the under in this game. Should be a lot of points. Game number 7.
Number 7!
Number 4, Michigan. I like the echo coming from Paul, too. That's great. Let's do this for everyone. Number 4, Michigan, on the road in Iowa City to take on Iowa. 11 a.m. This is the Fox Big Noon kickoff.
Chad,
noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central.
I like plus 11 here.
Do you remember
Am
when good teams used to go to Iowa and lose?
No. So
Michigan
has a very sordid history in Iowa City. And a lot of teams do. It's a tough place to play. Now, Blake Corum from Michigan, you want to talk about a workhorse so far, the running back? 42 carries for 7 touchdowns in the past 2 weeks alone for Michigan. Iowa guys, 131st nationally in total offense. Paul, do you know how many teams there are?
I have them at 128th. We looked
FBS.
At different rankings.
If you think
in FBS, there are 131 teams.
Does
so
Michigan score 17? If you think Michigan scores 17, then take the point. Yeah,
I would say if you think they score 17 and that's it, you don't take the points because I think Iowa will score one defensive touchdown in this game because
they're averaging a
defensive or special team score and a half per game so far this season.
I would say a field goal. 17-3 final, and you should take Michigan.
Iowa's offense, terrible.
How
defense,
do you like the over-under?
Great.
42.
I would take the under. If I'm taking anything in this game, I'm taking the under. I'm taking Michigan to win this game. But it may be close. I'm with you, Hutton. This could be a game that Iowa covers in. Maybe surprising.
However, we saw the Big Ten championship game last year. Was it 44-3? 41-3? It was not pretty.
Game number 6, Hutton, we're going to the SEC
number
for the first
six.
Time.
Here we go.
Number 17, Texas A&M at Mississippi State. The Bulldogs of Mississippi State, a 4-point favorite. This is maybe the best game of the season in the 3 p.m. Central time slot on SEC Network. Usually this is a game that's reserved for the worst conference game of the week or an SEC team versus some, you know, FCS school. This week, though, it's A&M at Mississippi State. A&M's defense good enough to keep this one low scoring and manageable. Hutton, we know this, though. The offense, still a problem, especially with Aeneas Smith out
exactly.
for A&M.
And
Devin Achane is their only real playmaker
game.
On offense.
It's run game, run the clock, control time of possession, low scoring game. That's what A&M wants to do, and they win that way. It's not pretty. They win that way. But use that accordingly. Max Johnson, people thought they were starting the wrong quarterback. Max Johnson is 21 of 41 in his 2 games.
I want to make a declaration. I hate Texas A&M. Period.
Yeah, good.
Hate them.
Good.
Vegas does not. Vegas does not. On
Max
the neutral
Johnson.
Floor.
I mean, if this is high-level quarterback play.
Max Johnson has mastered the art of the fadeaway 3-pointer pass.
Yeah.
Where he gets pressure in his face, and I mean – is backpedaling and jumps and lofts it to a guy in coverage who somehow catches it.
Just go wildcat.
He did it multiple times.
And put an extra blocker
on against
field.
Arkansas. Their offense is bad.
Mississippi State went to College Station and won 26-22 a year ago. Achane, by the way, for A&M, since they've turned things over to him because the quarterback play's been bad, he scored in all 4 games this season. Mississippi State, however, they spread the ball around. They have seven different receivers with 10 or more receptions this season.
Mississippi State should methodically pick them apart.
Should. But they have slowed down. They have slowed down in recent weeks.
You should speed up.
I aim for honesty, and if I have a great feeling about a game,
very good.
I have an SEC parlay for you in this top 10 that I feel very strong about.
Yep.
I will be honest with my strong feelings. I'll be honest when I have no clue. I have no clue what to pick in this game. None. Because A&M, since they lost to App State.
But beat Arkansas.
They beat a what looks like a maybe a bad Miami team, but beat them, not by a lot. Mm-hmm. They find a way to beat Arkansas. They lose to Mississippi State a year ago, but their defense did really well in that game.
Yes.
Against Mississippi State in the air raid. So I don't know what to pick in this game. If I, you know, had to, I would say State wins, but should be a close game. Game number five.
College
football games of the week. I love Wake Forest offense and watching.
Fun.
I mean, it is. If you want to watch the slow mesh of the Clawfence, the Dave Clawson offense, where I, to this day, I try to fathom how they pull this off. But,
no.
Paul, it's this slow handoff where Sam Hartman gets it, and they're reading the defense for a solid 2 seconds with the ball and the running backs.
They're running towards the line,
yeah. And it's the slow mesh. I don't know how they don't fumble it more because it is some – I mean, you got to be really on the same page because Hartman's either going to rip it out of his chest,
yeah,
his stomach, and throw it, or he knows he's got to take it.
It's effective.
At some point. It's effective. It works. Running back and quarterback have to be on the same plane at all times and know what the decision's going to be, and they have to share that decision in the moment. Fun to watch. Florida State's been fun to watch this year, too. Jordan Travis has been really good at quarterback so far. Guys, LSU's not bad since they lost to Florida State. Florida State just might be pretty good. Mike Norvell may be turning it around in Tallahassee. This game in Tallahassee, the Noles, a 6.5-point favorite, 2:30 Central Time on ABC.
So the loser of this game, Kansas, gets their spot in the top 25 if the Jayhawks win.
I like it. Kansas needs to win because if they win, I think they are going to be in the top 25 regardless. Game number four this week,
number
going to the Big 12. Number 9, Oklahoma State at number 16, Baylor. Baylor, a 2.5-point favorite, 2:30 Central Time on Fox. We had a great preview earlier from our guy in Waco. This is shaping up to be a really good game. And, guys, the winner of this game may end up being your Big 12 champions.
Implications, Big 12 title race. You've got Oklahoma already one loss. Winner of this game in the driver's seat for sure. Soon to be the face of the conference because Texas and Oklahoma are leaving. They've already played for the Big 12 title game a year ago. The winner of this game, to me, is the front runner for the face of the conference moving forward.
Baylor killed Oklahoma State's hopes of a playoff bid last year. Narrow hopes, 21-16 with a goal line stand last year. My guy Spencer Sanders had four picks in that game.
21-16, the final. It's a fun game.
So Baylor lost a close one at BYU, but then they go to Iowa State and pick up an impressive win last week. Baylor on the road. So this should be a fun one to watch. Game number three.
Number three.
Alabama at Arkansas. Alabama, second in the nation, 17-point favorite. I don't necessarily get it. I feel like every time I say I don't get it, Vegas wins in this. Arkansas lost by 7 a year ago. KJ Jefferson was pretty good in that game. Arkansas had a lot of yards offensively. I don't see where Alabama's a lot better this year than they were a year ago. I think Arkansas is a little bit better.
What you're
or
saying,
about the same.
What you're
this
saying is Arkansas has improved. Alabama is the same, which means they're SEC championship worthy, right? You're not saying they're worse than last year.
No, they're a very good team, obviously.
They've been a bit shaky on the road. Like, a bit shaky, in quotes.
Yeah, they find a way to win, though. Like, even when they're not playing their best or they're making, like, dumb penalties, 12 men in the huddle, delay a game, you know, out of a timeout, they overcome that. Bryce Young. Consider this about his time at Alabama. His true road games as a starter. Tell me what you notice. 2021 against number 11 Florida. They win 31-29. 2021 A&M. They lost that game 41-38. At Mississippi State. They win that game 49-9. 2021 against Auburn. They win in overtime. Four overtimes. 24-22 was the final in that one. And then at Texas this year. 20-19. The spread is 17.5 in a true road game. Give me the points. Alabama wins, but give me the points in this one against the Razorbacks.
It's one leg of my three-leg parlay that I feel strong about. Arkansas covers.
Got some bouncing back to do.
Arkansas covers.
Five true road starts, 4 3-points or less.
We had Josh Pate on yesterday to talk about this. Arkansas outplayed A&M and just lost by some really miserable luck in that game.
Yeah.
When you look back on it. So I don't feel any worse about Arkansas after that game.
Yeah, A&M won that game.
I liked Arkansas so much in that game, I bet it on two separate occasions, unknowing to myself. You ever do that? I bet this game, and then I saw it later, I bet it already.
I will be surprised if Arkansas is not right there in the fourth quarter with Alabama with a chance to win. Game number two. Number 10, NC State at number 5, Clemson. Clemson, a 7-point favorite. Clemson finally got some offensive mojo back this past week against Wake Forest. Wake Forest, not the best defense, but DJU had his best game, maybe ever, as a Clemson Tiger in that game. NC State guys, you know this from the beginning, I'm not a big believer, but defensively, they've got the type of team that can keep this thing right in range, even on the road at Clemson. That's why Clemson's only a touchdown favorite. 7:30 Eastern time kickoff. The night game on ESPN, going to be a great environment in Death Valley and certainly one to watch for ACC championship implications.
So you know how I felt about NC State, right?
Yeah, you and I both picked them.
They have not played well.
They got to win this game.
They won this game a year ago. They have not won since 2002 there. This is the year. If they're going to do it, they've chirped all offseason about, oh, we couldn't do the bowl game because someone – there was a team that faked issues and they didn't want to play us. So we didn't get 10 wins. This is one of those games where you're better. You've got the quarterback back. You've got multiple pieces defensively. You go on the road and you win this game. Clemson is not Clemson, which is pretty clear after week one. But they're improving. They're closer to Clemson now than they were in week one. Therefore, I can't wait to watch this game. And this will show a lot about the Wolfpack and their coaching staff.
Clemson gave up 259 yards in the air to Furman, 311 to Louisiana Tech. They better give up air yards to Devin Lear.
They have scored 175 points, which is second most in program history to this point in the season.
Great period. Points made by all. And I will say, this Saturday, we're going to have a much clearer picture of the ACC. Wake Forest, Florida State, that winner. And then the winner of this game between Clemson and NC State. Game number one, guys. I feel very strongly about this. Kentucky is going on the road and beating Ole Miss in this game. And they are a 7-point underdog. Another line that makes me ask the question, what does Vegas know that we don't? This is an 11 a.m. Central Time kickoff on ESPN. Lane Kiffin is bitching about his student section leaving early and oftentimes not even showing up. He's calling his own home atmosphere a high school-like atmosphere and that his guys have to learn how to play above that and not expect a good atmosphere from his home crowd. I feel like the Ole Miss faithful will respond this weekend against the top 10 team, and it's going to be a packed house and a good atmosphere.
Chris Rodriguez is back.
I do not believe in Jackson Dart leading this Lane Kiffin offense right now. When you have all these ideas about what a Lane Kiffin offense looks like, this is Zach Evans' run. This is a running game. They have one of the best running backs in college football. Kentucky has a way to win ugly. I believe in Kentucky's ability to win ugly more than Ole Miss. Give me Kentucky in a close game.
We always ask, what does Vegas know that we don't know, right?
Yep.
The spread's what, 6.5?
7 right now.
7. Ole Miss is getting 7 at home against Kentucky. Kentucky's already gone on the road and won in Gainesville. Will Levis, time to step up, bro. Yeah, you're going against Ole Miss's defense. It's time to be a first-round pick on Saturday. You're an underdog on the road at Ole Miss, and you were picked 2nd in the East. It is time to step up and act like a first-round pick and play like one Saturday in Oxford.
I think it gets it easier now. Chris Rodriguez comes in and takes some of the load off.
Vegas knows that, though, Paul, and they're still a 7-point underdog on the road against Ole Miss. Like, they're unbeaten in September for the second consecutive year. This is zero respect for the quarterback situation, not at Ole Miss, but at Kentucky.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And Will Levis has got all this hype about first-round caliber talent. Go prove it. Go prove it against Lane Kiffin's, not his offense, against Lane Kiffin's defense. It should be a layup for Kentucky.
Lane Kiffin's defense.
Are you with me here?
I agree.
Lane Kiffin's defense is a little bit better, I think,
but
this year.
But what does that mean?
It means it's average in the SEC. No, I'm with you. I have never bought the hype on Will Levis. And I continue to read piece after piece about how he is the one first-round pick, you know, the outside of Bryce Young in the SEC. I just do not understand it from what I've seen on the field. But I think Kentucky goes down there and wins outright as a touchdown underdog.
I'm with you on your top 10
By the way, my parlay for the SEC, if you want to play this with us.
Kentucky.
Arkansas covers the 17. I think it's now 17.5
It is.
Against Alabama at home. Kentucky money line as a 7-point underdog at Ole Miss.
Auburn LSU.
Under. Auburn LSU take the under. At 45.5 at last check.
Outkick.com/bet is where you can do that. We go from college football to the NFL. We preview the upcoming weekend on Sunday. That's next on Outkick 360.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We are getting ready for the football weekend. We've got, Chad, your top 10 college football games.
Hey, we got a packed house at 6th and Peabody also. Yeah. We got a lot of looky-loos coming through here.
The bathroom attendant hasn't started eating yet, so the weekend's really hasn't begun.
They're looking at Corey and Matty Ice, and these guys are so diligent and so hard at work, they don't even see out there. I've got the perfect vantage point to see everything that goes on by just looking to my right with people shopping for moonshine. And on Fridays, if you're ever in Nashville, please come see us because it is a terrific scene.
We are on in the beer garden right now on the big screen. Indoors, we've got live music. So if you hear Shania Twain, chances are you've heard that before in the background.
That's her. She's here.
Or someone's being paid to play her song.
Man, I Feel Like a Woman. We found out yesterday the top requested song.
By far.
From every female vocalist that takes the stage at 6th and Peabody. Man, I Feel Like a Woman from Shania Twain.
Guys, we're headed back to London for a league. Yeah, 9:30 a.m. Eastern is the kickoff time for the Vikings and the Saints this weekend as a part of our Week 4 look ahead for the top games of the NFL weekend. We've got Minnesota favored by 3 points. It doesn't look as though Jameis Winston's playing in this one, which means Andy Dalton is likely to get the start.
Might be better.
Winston's got a back issue, which he's been playing through, and we've been questioning. Michael Thomas is not going to play for the Saints. That reflects this line. And on neutral field, the Vikings favored by 3 in London. How do you guys feel about it?
I don't like the Saints. I don't like the Saints when I mean, I obviously like Michael Thomas. I don't know that Andy Dalton is a heck of a lot worse than Jameis Winston in a spot start. Maybe over a course of a season. I like the Vikings here. I'd probably give the 3 too.
I would bet the Vikings minus 3. I've never been a huge believer in the Saints, but we have seen this season that it feels like if we're looking at the seesaw of a team, that oftentimes the team that seems down and out, that maybe they were picked to be a contender by a lot in the preseason, when it looks dire is when they step up. I'll say that about Cincinnati with the Jets a week ago. Now they get to 2-2 with a win over the Dolphins. I thought they looked close to dead after 2 weeks because they couldn't protect Joe Burrow at all. Now they once again look to me like a playoff team.
Well, they've only allowed 3 sacks in the last 2 weeks.
Maybe this is the better. My only point is maybe this is the course correction week for New Orleans. They need to go to London to figure it out, and they're going to get it done. But my mind says Vikings. The Lions.
Minnesota's only 2-1. It's not like they're steamrolling.
No, but
which teams are right now
better than the Saints?
About 3 of them.
Yeah,
better than the Saints. But my point is, the Saints just lost at home to Carolina, who may be the worst team in the league.
And the Vikings came back. The Lions let Minnesota off the hook last week. They were up big.
They're lying.
And the Vikings came back and played well. The Lions did not, however, give Justin Jefferson any room to work with. He's 2 straight weeks he's been a non-factor for this offense because defensive backs have played well against him. Why do I bring this up? Well, Marshawn Lattimore is on the opposite side for the Saints defense in this game. And to me, it comes down to, is Justin Jefferson more like we saw week one, or is he more of what we saw in week two and three, where he last week against the Lions defensive backs, he only averaged 2.5 yards of cushion. That was the lowest of any top receiver in week three across the NFL.
And you've got a counterpunch with Adam Thielen.
Yes.
Right? With Dalvin Cook, he's dinged, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he is.
But that can't be a one-trick pony. If somebody's doing a great job on Jefferson, or if you've got a singular defensive back who's smothering him, you've got other options in that passing offense. Get to him.
Yes. This is, by the way, the 100th international game for the NFL.
That's something.
They're Vikings, adding up a lot of preseason games, though, with that. There's not a lot of regular season games
59 of
there.
Them.
Yeah.
59 of
59
them.
59 regular
of
season?
Them are, no, preseason, I think.
Preseason.
Right? Yeah.
The 41 majority. Of them are regular season.
Yeah, that's a,
counting
that's a
this game.
Bogus stat for them to pump up.
Well, it's still 100.
No, yeah, yeah. It's 100.
Next week, for those curious, the final team will have played internationally. This will be
Who's
the
lost?
Packers. The Green Bay Packers have not played there, and they are headed to London next week.
So, are they in London or Germany?
Germany. No, it's the Tampa Bay is going to Germany
later. I'm
pretty
sure it's London next week.
Okay, yeah, because Tampa Bay plays someone in
it's
there
Brady.
Are multiple games
Brady
in London this year, including the Jags, which is to come. Next up, we continue our tour around the NFL. Jacksonville and Philadelphia.
It's a good game.
The Eagles favored by 6.5. And A.J. Brown has been as advertised. It's rare. Now, we're not saying this because we see him traded from our city in Nashville, elsewhere. It's rare that you trade for a receiver in the NFL and they immediately produce. They can produce. But we're talking first-month production where they're the talk of the league. The Eagles' offense is that, and it's due in large part to what A.J. Brown has meant to the offense. Here's A.J. Brown comparing the Philly offense to the environment here in Nashville.
You know, Vrabel, I got a lot of respect for him, but, you know, he's the Belichick way. You know, everything is lock in. You know, no fun over there. You know, we're going to get the job done. But over here, he's just letting us have fun, do what we do, you know, let us express our personality. And I think that's huge. You know, you want somebody to express themselves and be themselves. So the real them can show on the game, on the football field. So
that's A.J. Brown with Josina Anderson on her podcast.
You know when A.J. Brown had a lot of fun? AFC Championship game? Had a blast. He had a blast.
Especially receiving passes from his quarterback.
Yeah.
He loves his quarterback right now.
Well, I just hear
When's the last time he said anything good about Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah, but
let me know if
you've
heard it.
He said he was the best leader he's ever around.
No. He said Marcus Mariota was the best leader he's ever
that's
heard.
That's right. He had fun when he loved Marcus Mariota, apparently. I mean, to make it like he had no fun when he was here is just more bogus A.J. Brown talk. I don't disagree with you about anything about the production.
He has never said anything nice about Tannehill.
But him talking smack about Vrabel is ridiculous. Vrabel, we all know Vrabel doesn't run New England here. Vrabel's not a Belichick disciple. Vrabel's more more a Mike Tomlin disciple. He's more a disciple of Bill O'Brien. He's more a disciple of Luke Fickle. He's more a disciple of guys that he's friends with.
But in regards to no fun teams. For. New England's number one because Tom Brady and Logan Ryan and everyone else would tell us that. Who's number two? AJ saying it's the similar situation.
Well, how many teams have you been
on? I just don't see
he's
that.
He's not comparing it to Philly.
To me, though, I hear that from AJ Brown, and I think, well, that's not an insult. I mean, wins. It has won in the past with the Titans, and
nothing to complain about with AJ Brown. He has backed up all of this talk.
I'm not a young NFL receiver, but my point is.
And guess who misses him?
I don't feel like it's a diss to say, man, I was just in the Titans, and they're all about doing your job and accountability and not sticking out. I'm like, okay, great. Sounds like a good organization to me.
Well, that's what they
I
say.
Mean, it's
but is Dylan Raiden's accountable? Is Caleb Farley accountable? Is Isaiah Wilson
Caleb
accountable?
Caleb Farley was accountable last week. He got his ass sat on the bench.
Let me give the flip side of that,
too. To throw out the mantra, you have to back it up. I don't see this team backing that up all that often.
No, they're not this year. And look, it's all breaking this year. But up until this year, it's been okay with the Titans in terms of wins and losses, especially compared to Philly up until now they get A.J. Brown. But here's the other thing. Taylor Lewan had no problem being himself and having fun. So
I agree.
I mean, how many players do I know on the Eagles from their personality other than A.J. Brown now? My only point is
I don't, did that and they took the captaincy away from
him. I don't buy that on – well, also because he sucked.
It's malarkey as he was a rookie.
And he had way too many penalties, I think, was the biggest reason he got his captaincy taken away.
I mean, A.J. Brown's doing great there. I don't know why he's compelled to keep taking knocks at the time.
Well, I don't disagree with him.
He was asked about his offense.
I'm sure Nick Sirianni is, maybe more fun to play for than Mike Vrabel. I don't know.
Well, so
but let's.
I just feel like a lot of people here are defensive over the trade and why they traded him.
Oh, I think
if
it was
anyone
stupid
here
to
is
trade being, him.
And me too. The day afterwards, I came in and said, "This is he exemplified everything they talked about, everything that Chad just mentioned. That guy was about, including making plays on game day,
and they didn't replace him."
Yeah, they made themselves worse.
They traded the guy away.
I mean, that I said it the day it happened. I can see what they're thinking. Oh, we don't want this guy who's being loud and that we're going to pay a lot of money. So
he's a wide receiver.
We'll get a cheaper version of him in the draft, and we're going to draft a guy who's very similar to him in college, and then it's going to work out. But you do that, and you know you're not going to be better the next year.
Too
so
smart.
The big issue for on the Titans' perspective for me is you took yourselves in a window and took yourself out of the window by doing that, by saying we're going to do something for the future.
Too smart for their own good. Philly second in the league in sacks with 12. They're allowing an NFL low 4.4 yards per attempt, and that's versus Goff, Cousins, and Wentz. I hate to see what they're going to do. I think Lawrence will put up a better fight than that. I think this is going to be a good game.
Paul, how shocking is it, though, that week four of the AFC South, the most interesting game in the AFC South is not Titans-Colts. It's Jags-Eagles.
Well, we said that Trevor Lawrence should be the best quarterback.
The AFC South involving
we said
them.
Trevor Lawrence should be the best quarterback in this division, and now we're still going to call it the quarter poll four games in for the sake of our math, and he's going to be the best quarterback in this division.
I nearly picked this game.
I didn't think it was going to happen right now.
I think he is going to be right now.
I nearly picked this. If he is, he's Andrew Luck and then some because he's living up to it.
Well, it's not hard to be better than Tannehill and Ryan and Davis Mills.
I don't know that he should be better
than
them
right now. Have you
seen
his numbers? He's far better than them right now.
Yeah.
Let's also mention how they win this game. They don't win this through Trevor Lawrence. In my opinion, they win this through James Robinson.
And ATN.
You can run the football against the Eagles defense right now. I don't know if you can in December because they're young. They're young in the middle and they're young at linebacker. They can run it right now. That's how Jacksonville goes on the road and wins outright. I nearly selected it. I didn't.
It's a very compelling game.
Because I think Hurts and the receiving core and they're locked in. You have to score a certain amount to get there. Jacksonville may be able to do it with their run game.
If the Jags win this game, the talk and everything goes, they take off like a rocket.
Yeah, we have our front runner for Coach of the Year, too, as well. Bills and Ravens, very intriguing here. Paul, I mentioned this to Chad yesterday, so no cheating, Chad. Lamar Jackson, over under 15th in the league on how often he's blitzed. So would you say he's top half or lower
bottom
half?
Bottom half of being blitzed? I think it's stupid to blitz him because if he gets through you, he goes. But the way you're laughing, over.
My answer was he was going to be one of the least blitzed quarterbacks in the NFL. Yeah,
through 3 weeks, he's the most blitzed starting quarterback
in the
league.
We have the same answer, Paul.
That doesn't seem to make a lot of sense.
I agree. But here's
the key. Let's see what the Bills do.
They're the least blitzing team in the NFL through 3 weeks.
Yeah.
They only send four.
Bills have real problems in their secondary. Micah Hyde down, Tre'Davious White still not off PUP, and now Christian Benford's got a fractured hand. Lamar also accounts for 87% of Baltimore's total yards. If you can find a way to slow him down, put it on somebody else's hand. Belichick wasn't able to do that, right? You want to get take away option number one. He's option number one, two, and three.
Last week, Mark Andrews accounted for 52% of their offense to the passing game.
How about this?
Get ready for him to take off against Buffalo's
defense. How about
this
on the other side? I was stunned by this. Devin Singletary ran 45 pass routes against the Dolphins. 45 pass routes by Buffalo's running back.
And they moved McKenzie, who was a running back, to slot receiver.
He ran fewer routes than Singletary.
He
ran the second most. That's the second most to Diggs.
Raiders 0-3. Broncos need a win in the division. The
Those
winner,
teams both suck.
They do. The winner of this game, though, is alive for a playoff contention. The other one's eliminated. And I know that the Broncos have some wins. And I know the records are skewed here. I'm just – the Broncos have – they've won against
San Francisco
11-10. And then they beat Houston 13-9 or something like that.
Renfro the back, Raiders, presumably off a concussion here.
Paul, the Raiders had no business leaving Nashville last week 0-3, based on the roster I watched take the field for the Titans.
That was an out-coaching job, too. So, McDaniel's unable to get the ball to his best people.
That's why I think like the winner of this is they're alive, the loser's done.
And I think the alive one is in trouble, too. I mean, it's going to take a huge turnabout for either one of these teams to be in it. We overrated both of them tremendously, I think. Renfro, I think, could give the Raiders a spark. I'm presuming he's back from his concussion.
Hey, kudos to Eli Manning also for not apologizing for the joke he made on the Manning cast, which was hilarious.
And good
they
for
were,
Russell Wilson.
They were talking
Wilson.
About the
Russell Wilson had good
is
comeback.
Is it Waitman, the punter for Denver and his average? Yeah. And Eli Corliss joked Waitman. And said, hey, they should have given that punter $235 million instead of Russell Wilson based on his production.
Six of his 10 punts were inside the 20.
And Russell Wilson came back and said, oh, Chad Powers said that? Well, I was 3-0 against Chad Powers in my career, which is a great response. Yeah. And he laughed as he said it. So
I feel
terrific.
Like things are slipping away from Russell Wilson.
Well, he hasn't started well at all.
I think this is all a Nathaniel Hackett problem, who I buried after week one.
Maybe
I think this is that he is the issue. It's not Russell Wilson. I've seen a lot more from Russell Wilson in this league. And a lot of good things. And I've not seen a lot from Nathaniel Hackett as a head coach. And what I've seen is very bad. And I see an organization that felt compelled to hire someone to make decisions for him in game. That's not good.
Well, you could say at least the guy was smart enough to know he's dumb enough to need this guy.
You should have known that.
You should have known it. Yeah, right. When he put his staff together.
Let me be very clear about this. Great that you admitted that you're dumb enough to do that.
No.
Also,
look, I love your
you
take
are not,
that he's
you
done after
are
one week.
Not capable of being an NFL head coach. If you need to hire some retired special teams assistant to make in-game decisions for you.
Dude, I wish
head
I beat
coaches
you.
Coaches make the decisions.
I wish I beat you to the idea that he was done after 1 week.
Man.
No, a lot of head coaches have a guy in their ear helping them. You just don't hire him in week three and it doesn't turn into a big thing after you've struggled for those 3 weeks. He's part of your initial staff. And it's not a big deal.
Tom Brady is 10-0 against the spread following a game which was a loss where he's going into a game where he's the underdog. All right?
It's a little complicated.
That is a complicated
he's an underdog this week. Chiefs at the Bucks. Kansas City's favored by 2. The Bucks are coming off a loss. Brady's an underdog. He is 10-0 over the last 20 years as an underdog coming off a loss.
I'm not feeling great about Tom Brady. A bunch of his receivers are questionable. I know a lot of this has been about the receivers. He doesn't look like he's throwing the ball great. He doesn't look like he's feeling it great.
He looks like 2019 Brady in New England.
Is he still?
I don't feel great about it. And the Chiefs are coming off a loss.
Is he still taking Wednesdays off?
They shouldn't have. Yes.
No.
Oh, he's got
practice Wednesday. The hurricane hit, so he was there, and they were.
Oh, he's trapped. They couldn't get to.
Yeah, but
it's
the plan
to
continue
not even
trapped.
They moved to Miami. Like the Bucks have been practicing in Miami, and he went with them this week.
He could have flown from Miami to Belize.
Is the plan though after
he was with Giselle there?
Is the plan after the hurricane to continue taking Wednesdays off?
I believe so.
Okay.
I think the Chiefs bounce back from a tough loss. I mean, they're pissed they lost to the Colts, I'm sure. The Colts are inferior to the Chiefs. I like the Chiefs to bounce back. I'm not liking what I see from the Bucs. I think once they get their people back, it's going to take a little while to get flowing. And I need convincing that Brady hasn't lost some.
The Bucs will rally behind the people of Southwest Florida after Hurricane Ian.
Watch out.
Tom Brady, is on my fantasy team, is going to respond in kind, and the Bucs are going to win
this
game.
Are you winning with him?
I got to remember which team he's on.
Yeah.
Because I'm undefeated with one team. I'm 2-1 with another. So I guess I'm technically winning with either one. He's on the team that's 3-0.
I had the classic conundrum that you guys make the case is why you can't have more than one fantasy team.
We all do. One extra is too
much for me. I had Saquon Barkley against Saquon Barkley. So I was going to win one game and lose one game depending on what he did. And sure enough, I won one game by 0.4 and I lost one game by 0.4, all because hinging on Saquon Barkley's Monday night performance.
I'm awful at seeing who my opponent is and who they have on their team until it gets down to the nitty-gritty. Then I'll look and say, okay, who do they have left? And that's when I pay attention if it's close. But I have no idea when
it starts.
Depends
on which screen I'm looking at. Damn you, Saquon! And then I look at the other screen and go, all right, Saquon!
I take the mantra in fantasy football of most coaches. It's about what we do. It's not about the opponent. It's about what we do this week, and it'll take care of itself.
But what
we
if
don't
you're
worry
both
about
defending
them.
Him
we
and...
We worry about ourselves.
And what if you're defending him and giving him the ball?
Yeah, that would be... That's a tough... That's Coming a quandary. Up,
our thoughts on Titans and Colts and much more. That's next on OutKick 360.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Big football weekend. OutKick 360 rolls on.
Big weekend for my Braves, too.
Yes.
Max Fried versus Jacob deGrom tonight. Game one. To decide the NL East.
So the idea is they play tonight
down
and then
with the Mets.
A doubleheader's coming up at some point,
They're
right?
probably going to be rained out tomorrow for sure. I don't know what the forecast is like tonight. Maybe tonight's in jeopardy.
Let's look it up.
Also, but probably, I'd say definitely tomorrow, they're not going to play. And then they could get a split doubleheader on Sunday, and they could keep that Sunday night baseball obligation on ESPN as the national game
on
Sunday
night. They may get this in all weekend. No, all weekend.
Oh, it may dodge them?
Yeah, it kind of went east.
Yeah, so they have dodged a bullet here. Perfect tonight, perfect Saturday, and right now, perfect Sunday.
Yeah, 76 That's great for a high, 54 for a low.
So you get the sold-out crowd all three nines.
It sets up perfectly because it's the Braves' top three pitchers versus the Mets' top three pitchers. Yeah. The only thing that would have been better if the Braves found a way to
Just
win in extra innings against the Nationals to get the sweep. Where the Mets came back down 4-0 and beat the Marlins. Now the Mets have a one-game lead going into the series.
Paul, we've got the Titans and the Colts, each with a win on the season. Colts hosting the Titans. They will play again on October 23rd. So within a month, we're going to have a great sense of how things line up for both the Colts and the Titans and the Jags. The Jags are done with the Colts as well by October 23rd. What do you make of the matchup on Sunday?
Well, I still think they're missing Harold Landry. Jeffrey Simmons has been quiet the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
Now they're going to be playing Joe Jones or Dylan Cole at inside linebacker with Zach Cunningham out. Lonnie Johnson maybe at safety next to Kevin Byard with Amani Hooker out. I'm not impressed with those depth pieces, which I think could hurt them. So I'm with you. I lean Titans certainly on the coaching edge, but I also think like – This is probably they're probably due to get back to splitting with the Colts rather than sweeping the Colts.
I'm betting on two things for them to get back in their winning ways, not just this week and last week, but moving forward. Number one, they've got to run the football well with Derrick Henry. That's their identity, right? And they're close to that. They got him involved in the passing game too early, but again, like they're staging it. Number two, they got to stop the run. They've been awful. Missing tackles.
Yeah, and you think Dylan Cole's doing
filling
that?
Gaps. Like
that's where I'm scared.
But that's this week with Jonathan Taylor. It comes down to Taylor or Henry, and let's determine the best running back on the field at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Yeah, and I think the game within the game is going to be aging Matt Ryan versus Ryan Tannehill with limited receiver options.
Yeah.
On both sides.
For both.
I mean, both teams are dealing with the same issues.
Well,
in
we
terms
know they have
receivers.
Pittman. Who will the Titans go to? Because it changes up.
The Titans, to
it
me, just has a revolving door of someone who could maybe reach Michael Pittman's level each week. Maybe. That's not a good situation to be in.
Well, Woods emerged last week, but they didn't throw it to him in the red zone. So does he grow there? And where's the Austin Hooper that we saw during training camp?
I think that Treylon Burks is eventually going to have just a breakout game soon. He's going to be the guy in one of these games.
But they've got to target him.
Yeah.
For that to happen. Like
did he get two targets last week?
Yes. That's my concern is it's time to take the training wheels off this guy. Let's go. A.J. Brown had a 1,000-yard receiving season his rookie year.
And
Let's go.
If he is the guy that you traded A.J. Brown away for to draft, he's ready to go. Like he wants
it. Should have been part of the plan.
But that part
it wasn't, hey, let's trade AJ Brown and bring in a guy we'll baby all year.
Right. It's not even a development thing. It's he wants to go. He wants the ball. AJ Brown wanted the ball at all times. Like this guy's got to want the ball and to be a big part of the game plan. We'll start to find out if he is.
I think it'll be an interesting game. I don't think either team's particularly good.
I agree. One team should be better. To me, it should be the Tennessee Titans. The ownership in Indianapolis is measuring this game against the Tennessee Titans. The Titans should
on their
identity. Henry should go off at the scene of the crime, by the way, where he was injured a year ago. He should take off this year. And if he does, the Titans are winning. If he doesn't, that means Jonathan Taylor won the game for Indy. That's how I see it. It's one of the two. Guys, we're back at it on Monday. Cheers to the weekend. Enjoy all of the kickoffs. And recap it all with us on Monday, 2 o'clock Central, 3 o'clock Eastern on Outkick 360.
Don't block the box, but be sure to lock your locks. See ya!